This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:36 in the morning, Friday the 11th of September. And in half an hour, we're having the breakfast grill where I'll be speaking with Wan Ahmad Faisal bin Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Because with Malaysia Day around the corner, we're asking the question of what is the future of our country and what is the role of young people in charting our path forward? So we'll be discussing this with Wan Ahmad Faisal, the Deputy Minister for Youth and Sports. He's also the newly elected Chief of Bersatu's Youth Wing Armada, a position he ran for under much scrutiny following the circulation of a video which saw him offering support letters in return for voters. And we're going to be discussing that as well during the grill.
Definitely something you're going to want to pay attention to and take a listen. That's happening at half an hour on the breakfast grill. But right now, let's pay attention to something that's happened over the week, actually. A bit of news out of SoftBank. It's had quite a bit of attention. On Monday, its market value fell about $9 billion after the Financial Times broke news that the Japanese tech investor was the so-called Nasdaq whale that drove the U.S. stock market to record highs in recent months, or at least was one of those factors that this is one of the things that's been one of the theories out there. SoftBank reportedly spent about $4 billion U.S. on options, I think mostly call options, on tech stocks with an overall exposure of about $30 billion. However, some analysts say it can't contribute to the overall market impact solely because of SoftBank.
So for a better understanding of this, as well as how it all works, joining us on the line is Ed Clissold, Chief US Strategist at Ned Davis Research. Ed, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, last week, tech stocks and the tech-heavy Nasdaq saw a sharp correction after the FT reported on SoftBank had been using options to make exceptional gains. Why did that cause such a massive price correction on some of the key tech stocks?
Yeah, and no one knows for sure if it was just SoftBank. Probably there were other players in the market as well. But the way it works is if somebody buys a call option, they're betting that the stock is going to go up and they're going to buy it in the future at a lower price. If a lot of people buy that and they buy a call option, they call it out of the money. That means the strike price that they're going to buy it at is higher than the stock price is today. And then the stock price goes up, that can have a multiplier effect on the market. In particular, if somebody buys a call option, there's somebody on the other side selling that call option. And usually it's a market maker. And if that market maker doesn't want to be exposed as the market rallies, it's going to have to hedge itself. So as the stocks rallied in August, you had this cascading effect of the people who were hedging against these call options having to get more and more bullish. And what happens is, you know, these things multiply the rally on the way up, and they had the same effect on the way down. So once the momentum turned, it could make a correction turn to be a lot worse than it would be otherwise. And that looks like that was at least part of what happened in the last few weeks.
I guess we're interested to know, options trading has no base commission charges, which makes it very attractive for any investor to come into the market. And based on what happened last week, what risks should we be concerned about?
Well, I think that whenever you're talking about a derivative, be it futures or options, the risk is if somebody is overexposed and they get a margin call and they have to adjust other parts of their portfolio to meet those margin calls. That is their brokerage account says that they need them to put money back into their account. So that could cause dislocations across the market. And so that can increase the volatility while those options are being unwound. So it can take what could have been a smaller correction and turn it into a much bigger one.
Do you expect investors will aggressively participate in call options again after last week's implosion?
Well, history is filled with mistakes like these happening. So yes, it'll happen again. Whether or not over the next few weeks, some people who maybe got into the game over the last few months maybe learned a lesson, that's quite possible too. As you alluded to, the cost of trading options has gone down considerably, which makes them more attractive to trade.
Now, we've seen that the volume and the size of these trades, the buying of these different derivatives, has spurred speculation that SoftBank and other institutions are getting involved, more involved in the options trading. There's a lot of talk around how some of the Robinhood traders are getting involved in options on the retail side. But I guess overall, how much credit do you give the NASDAQ whale theory that SoftBank is the so-called NASDAQ whale?
It's probably part of it. I mean, that information has gone out, but it would have to be more than just SoftBank, at least by the dollar amounts that has been floated out there. So there's more to it. It could be other institutional traders who were trying to front run SoftBank or copycat SoftBank, but it could be retail investors in mass. Obviously, it'd have to be a lot of them in there as well. So it's probably a combination of all those things, and then just the fact that a lot of these companies have been performing well as businesses during COVID, and so money has been flowing into those names anyway. So it's probably a combination of things.
And since we have you on the line, Ed, would you say that the market decline is a healthy correction, or rather the end of a rally that has seen the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 appreciate by 62 and 47% respectively from the March lows?
Well, it came at an interesting time in the cycle. If you look at the economic cycle, usually if the economic recovery is weak, which is what it looks like it's going to be, the market has experiences a correction about 4 or 5 months after the end of the recession, which is probably about now. In the stock market cycle, again, about this point in a bull market, you tend to get a correction. We're about 2 months before the election in the U.S. That's a time when stocks tend to pull back. So a lot of things were lining up, and a lot of sentiment data looking at investor optimism or pessimism showed there's a lot of optimism. So that left stocks vulnerable too. So it probably would have been the next thing to come along, and this seems to be the next thing that came along. What we want to see from here is that the optimism that's in the market gets relieved, traders get more pessimistic, but you don't see the kind of technical damage, say, that we saw in mid-February that led to a bigger decline. You want to see most stocks hold up okay. So far, that's been the case. So what we're thinking is that this is a correction within an ongoing bull market, but we'll have to see what the data says as we proceed.
Now, just focusing on the tech stocks there, Ned, we've seen how the S&P 500, how the Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google have taken up larger proportions of the S&P. I think at one point it was almost 50%. Now, can we expect more swings? I think you've already alluded to this, but specifically on the tech-heavy NASDAQ and the currently the S&P 500, how much volatility are you expecting going forward?
Well, that's the risk of having so few stocks being such a big weight in an index, that they're going to have a bigger influence. So just the top five stocks in the S&P 500, which is a broader index than the NDX 100, those top five stocks were almost 25% of the index, and that's a record high for the five biggest stocks to be that big of a weight. And so if a few of those run into trouble, then it's going to have a bigger impact. So I think that's the risk for the market by having so few names dominate the market.
So meanwhile, with some signs of economic recovery, is it time to rotate from growth stocks to some of the cheaper cyclical sectors like financials, for example?
Probably not yet. I think we want to see our signs of the economic recovery is broadening out, and we might need to see more signs that a vaccine is at hand and parts of the economy that are still shut down, which tend to be more value-oriented sectors, are poised to benefit. And with financials, there's the additional issue of the yield curve. We need to see long-term interest rates rise relative to short-term interest rates. That's how financials make money, and that doesn't seem to be happening over the short term.
As the presidential elections are less than 2 months ago, do you expect elevated market volatility?
yeah, the market doesn't like uncertainty. Political uncertainty would be one of those things the market would look at. And typically going into an election, there is some uncertainty in the market. The markets tend to trade lower. And during years when the incumbent party has lost, that downside volatility has been higher. We'll see what happens with the election, but Joe Biden is leading President Trump right now. So that would be another risk factor for the market, definitely.
All right. Thank you for speaking with us this morning, Ed. That was Ed Klissold, Chief U.S. Strategist at Ned Davis Research. Excuse me, giving us his thoughts about the tech sector as well as the wider market, particularly as we head into this period of extended political uncertainty. But I think interesting to me was that he's of the opinion that SoftBank was probably part of the reason why we saw such volatility in the Nasdaq. But he seems to indicate that that probably wasn't the only thing at play.
Yeah, because we saw the volumes, right? So I think some of the analysts who are looking at the volumes being traded, definitely not the type of volumes that you see the retail, the Robinhood traders do. So it means that some of the institutions could be getting involved as well. Market makers may be trying to cover their positions. Essentially, the call option is essentially a right to buy, but not obligation at a certain price, right? Within a certain period of time in the US. So that's why people are using this. But I guess with more volatility, and especially the way we're seeing the market go this year, I would have to guess that the premiums of those call options would have to be increasing, because I can't expect people to be selling, writing those options without some kind of cover for themselves.
Yeah, so I think if you recall Tim Mahalan at 7 a.m., he did say the markets are due for an overcorrection. Overdue correction, pardon me. But I guess now the question is whether investors are willing to buy the dips, but it appears there may be still a lot of optimism based on what Ed has said.
But certainly, we're going to be seeing a fair bit more volatility in U.S. markets in the coming weeks. So we'll be watching that very closely. But right now, we have some messages coming up for you. And then up next, we're speaking with Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB Malaysia, on Bank Negara Malaysia's decision to maintain the OPR. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.